the 5804's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the
loudmouth.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the 5 and 10,
listening once again,
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
Thanks, Perry. It's time. Anywhere you are, and by whatever method you are listening, socially distancing, and celebrating the holidays, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Merry Christmas, kid.
Merry Christmas.
We'll lead it off. We'll have a few fun moments on this show.
It's talking negative about, 4 outside.
Yep, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We record this on Christmas Eve day as we are getting ready for the holidays, and we thank you for...
Yes, we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. It's okay.
It's okay to do that. Spending time with the family here as we wind our way towards Santa's arrival and hopefully forthcoming gifts here in the evening and tomorrow. And we hope you are safe and sound wherever you are, avoiding COVID, avoiding bad weather, and having time with your family. On the show tonight, we talk about Christmas classics, both of a sports and song nature. And, of course, we'll preview the NFL weekend. We've got the college slate, some entertaining bowl games, to say the least. And, of course, we have to pick the game. The Fraudulent Roosters are back on the show.
Woo!
More to come on that one. And, of course, we'll talk about that game coming up. But we wanted to start because it is Christmas, right? And we do have generational differences on shall we say on what songs are the best. So I'm supposed to start at the top of your list, right?
Yeah, you want me to play them?
Yeah, go, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you give us your first one? We're gonna give you each a taste of our Christmas preferences.
Right.
So Grant, go ahead, let's hear it. That's the Ronettes with Sleigh Bells.
Right. The remix.
The Fat Cap Trap remix.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good enough. Not on my, certainly on my list. I guess I've got to start almost with a classic that is highly underrated. Your brother had not heard this song until today.
Wait,
and I'm embarrassed to say that he's never heard this, or at least he's not conscious of this song.
All right, you chipmunks, sing your song.
How could I have never played this for him?
Right.
Okay, Simon.
Oh.
Okay, Theodore.
Oh.
Okay, Alvin.
Ahem.
Alvin.
Ahem.
Alvin.
Alvin. How could I have never played that for Ben? I mean, really? You've heard it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's an institution. I want to go on public record as saying that I admit my failings as a father for not having played that for my son.
What are you doing?
I mean, honestly, how could I be that way? You want to go to your next one?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, it's a holiday. I got foes on foes and they
I'll find the clean version.
Hey. It's another way.
This is her. This is, for those of you not familiar with this, is Lil Nas X.
Hell yeah.
As in Old Town Road, Lil Nas X. That's enough.
Hey.
Hey. Really?
I could play the not clean.
Let's not. Let's go with a slightly more older rocker who has kind of one that's become a classic over the years.
Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not buy.
It's Bruce Springsteen, man.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah. This is good stuff right here. No? This is like a live version, too. No? Not feeling that one, huh? All right. Go ahead. This actually isn't a bad choice. A very soulful song. I'm a little surprised at that pick from you. I was kind of not expecting. I don't know. I just didn't expect some '80s wham to come into the equation at any point. So
I said it posted in 2009. Like, it's from 2009, whereas no, it's not from 2009.
Well, that's an oldie for you.
Yeah.
This one's an oldie for me, but it's still one of my favorite Christmas jingles, and I guess it's just because it was one of the traditional Christmas rock songs.
Right.
I mean, you can't get any more original than this.
You find a top 10. Top.
I mean, Brenda Lee doesn't get any more wholesome than that. So it also reminds me of the scene from Home Alone where Kevin's jamming out doing this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's I might have a soft spot in my heart for that piece of it too. So.
Dick the Hall's instrument.
It's kind of creepy right there. Okay, that's just. I like the horn in there. That hit that horn. Got to get a new horn. That was good. I like that one. Not that actually wasn't bad. Although I have to come back with a modern version of the classic.
Oh yes, yeah.
You know what it is.
Yep.
This is so good. I can't even hear the real one anymore without hearing this in my mind. It's so good. Then he forgets the lyrics. Anyway, that's enough of that, but that's so... And I didn't get the Christmas trees in pie, but that's good. But I've got to save it for a few more. All right, go ahead. Is this really a Christmas song?
I consider it one.
Hall of the Mountain King is a Christmas song? I guess.
Okay, I consider it one, but okay.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I was gonna do Do You Hear What I Hear, but we're down to the last two. But that's my favorite kind of classics one. But I have coming in a solid with the silver medal in my playlist, and
I'm going from one to five.
Well, I'm going from this is my number two choice, and of course you'll know it when you hear it, but you got to wait for the twist.
Uncle John's wants you to have a happy holiday. The Mexican
I can't
way.
Hear the sign without this.
Plus
it's not just Navidad.
Tortilla chips piled high and topped with all kinds of delicious things. Nachos Navidad from Taco John's.
I'm hungry just watching.
I wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. And from Taco John's.
It's the fact that he gets the end from Taco John's at the end. That's so good. It's so great.
I have one honorable mention to play.
Oh, you have an honorable mention? All right.
Mr. Grinch remix.
With the greasy black peel.
What is this?
Mr. Grinch remix.
Seriously? That's horrible.
Okay, fine.
That's horrible. Okay. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Fine.
I disagree, but because we all know that the greatest Christmas song of all time is this
Even
one.
Mariah Carey.
Make my wish come true.
There just isn't any debate.
If I had a top 10, this would be.
It would be in the top 10 at least?
Yes.
This is the Make My Wish Come True edition, too, by the way. Hit it. There is no better song. And now I am doing the obligatory shoulder rolls. That's so good. It's got the Motown sound. It's got the chorus in the background.
How many views do I have on the YouTube video?
129 million. On this version.
I like some of that.
Over 2.2 million.
That sounds better.
I mean, honestly, it's everything cheesy about Christmas and everything great rolled into one package. You can't beat it. Here it comes. Hang on. I feel better now. What a great song. I'm just going to put that in the background for a little bit so we can talk it. I mean, okay, all right. I need to get over this, right? See, you're even singing. You even know most of the lyrics.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
I heard it 10 minutes ago.
Well, so, I mean, honestly, that's what makes it good. It's timeless.
Right.
It's time.
Right.
Timeless.
Right.
Whatever. Okay. I feel better now. Now that I've played that song, it made my day better. So, well, we should probably go from one set of Christmas music to the other because I finally found this on the 1 hour loop I've been looking for, which I had last year. But everybody knows when this song comes on what we're talking about. So.
Small Steven.
Small Steven, yay!
Last night for me was not.
We'll get to that, but not the Loudmouth with the early lead in the Sour Patch Kids 2020 Legend of the Loudmouth Bowl Challenge. We'll get to why in a few minutes.
Oh boy!
But let's start with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, where Appalachian State beat the living crap out of the Mean Green from North Texas, 56-28, in a real slobber knocker. Where App State basically took a knee at the end of the game.
Right.
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad Sunbelt football and bad
Conference USA football.
Ugh, that's terrible.
I can't even really say anything about the game because I didn't watch the rest of the game.
Well, you didn't miss anything. No. Trust me, it was that bad. Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, frying up $800,000 to the conference each. I couldn't go with potatoes. I spudding it up. I don't know. Nevada pulls the upset and beats Tulane 38-27.
We both picked Tulane.
Minus the three there, so that was an upset.
I picked Nevada.
Huh?
We picked Tulane. But the best part is you get the fries and dumped on you, and you get the Gatorade.
I know that was. Thank you for reminding me of that because that was the best part.
You get a snack after the game. Like that's great.
I mean, you know, this kind of sets the bar high because when the Cheez-It Bowl comes up.
There better be
a Cheez-Its going on the head coach, winning head coach.
Right.
That's just not even a discussion point.
Like, they had to delay the game, get the fries off the field. They're like, sideline warning.
You can't make it up.
Sportsmanlike conduct.
You really can't make it up.
A bench.
You really can't make it up.
You can't throw a personal foul on that. Come on.
No, you really can't throw a personal foul on that. That's wrong.
You ain't going to win anyways, so it's just like,
well,
screw it.
It is what it is, but I was disappointed at the personal foul penalty. In the very long to say, roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl.
Do with me.
$900,000 to both schools here, and BYU smartly gets to keep all that money because they're an independent. They beat the living hell out of UCF. 7 points was the line. 49-23, the final. Zach Wilson redeeming himself from that miserable performance that he had against Coastal.
Is he better than Trey?
They play about the same level of competition.
I'd buy them a better competition.
It's debatable, honestly. I don't know. I'm not totally sure on that one.
Because I think Mel Kiper Jr. has been ranked as the fifth best quarterback.
Todd. What?
Mel Kiper as Trey ranked as the fifth best quarterback.
No, I.
You know, if he does, though, the Vikes are at 16. I'm just saying.
I'll say it this way. Zach Wilson's last game was a lot better than Trey's last game.
There's only one game.
Well, but that's...
It was after a year of...
Last impressions. Last impressions are the first one.
I guess UCF plays no defense.
UCF's terrible, by the way.
They don't play any sort of defense, so...
They were number 27 in the Sagarin ratings. How, I don't know exactly.
I thought Jeff Sagan was your boy.
Well, BYU won that game by a lot more than I anticipated. I mean, the spread was 7. I thought they'd cover it, but I didn't think they'd double it, more than double it up. So BYU takes that one. We'll skip ahead to the other game that didn't impact our standings, and that's the game. Oh, you know what? I didn't have the clip ready. That's my bad. It was the game. Let's see here. Just a moment while I get this ready. We'll get here in a second. Trust me, this wasn't much of a game. It's only worth it for the lyrics. So.
No, seriously.
No, it's the game between Memphis and Florida Atlantic. Is the game. So that's what we're going for here, because we need to make sure we hear this. There we go. That was a long build-up for that. But anyway. Memphis 25, Florida 10. Memphis does cover. But not a very good game by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, Memphis can stick to basketball.
I don't think I watched that game either.
No. Really, and, game. Again, not missing anything there. But the game that has turned the tide in the Loudmouth's favor. We need to pause Andy Williams here for a second. Georgia Southern absolutely whooped Louisiana Tech, and it wasn't close in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. $825,000, by the way, what is Georgia Southern again? Why can't I remember what they are?
The Eagles.
Sorry. Statesboro. That's the only thing I could remember was Statesboro. And
not Statesboro State.
No, but I just was like, oh, I forgot. I completely forgot game. What they were there. I'm sorry. I they're just a team that got beat by NDSU. That's
you met me one of those and twice.
Yeah. So, was it 38-3? Yeah. Was that the final?
Yeah.
Wow. Here to break down the second half for us.
Not the whole game.
The whole game in general is special consultant to Louisiana Tech, Jim Mora, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked. In the second half, we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly-poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
That was fantastic.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim, thank you. That's pretty much the way Louisiana did. They wound up bringing in the freshman quarterback at the end, and he sucked just as much as
they
the first
They brought
the
backup punters into the game to punt.
They were even running the end-around pass, and that was incomplete. I think Georgia Southern had 4 picks, maybe 5. I don't have the stats in front of me, and frankly, I'm not going
to
look it up.
Once it was 28-3, yeah, this game's over. I'm playing 2K.
No, so, yeah, so the Loudmouth gets the easy cover on Georgia Southern minus 6.
Louisiana Tech. I thought at least you could cover.
Louisiana Tech's finest moment for the legend. So going into the New Mexico Bowl, which kicks off later today at a television near you, the Loudmouth sits at 4-1 with the legend at 3-2 in bowl season. New Mexico Bowl, we are on Houston today, although the line has come down significantly from, we bet it at 13. It's now down to 7. I don't know what happened to Houston during the last few days, if they had too many cookies or, you know, Santa came. I have no idea. But anyway, so let's, I'm sorry. I inadvertently have stopped the Masters. There we go. It's just not the same.
Right.
Now, coming up, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 games to pick before our next show, so let's do that right now. We start out with the Camellia Bowl, and I know you've been wanting to know, and again, this is another Midnight in Montgomery game. I'm not going to play that clip again, but I'll get it on Monday's show. The Camellia Bowl between the Buffalo Bulls and the Marshall Thundering Herd.
Ooh, that's a good game.
So this could be interesting. So this one is on Christmas Day. Buffalo is a 4.5-point favorite in this one. Sagarin says they're about a 3-point favorite. Buffalo, number 56 in the Sagarin. Marshall at 75. Again, point of reference here for all the fans listening.
Ooh, that's
a in the Sagarin rating, the Bison are 55th.
They're the Buffaloes, dude.
No, I'm talking about our NDSU.
Oh,
Bison.
Sorry.
NDSU is 55. JMU is 80. South Dakota State is 85. So that's about the level of football we're talking about here. So we've got Buffalo and Marshall. Buffalo has the kid, the running back, who has just absolutely torn up the world here. Jared Patterson, who scored like 43,000 touchdowns in one game, apparently.
See, I really want to pick Marshall.
Patterson rushed for over 400 yards, by the way, just to make sure
you're right. I want to pick Marshall.
Well, go ahead and do it then. You get the points.
But then I look at their games they played. They got shut up by Rice. It's Rice.
Steamed, boiled, or fried?
Minute Rice? I don't
Uncle Ben's rice? Oh, I can't say that anymore.
Rice-a-roni?
It could be. There used to be a rice-a-roni bowl, I think, back in the day. Okay, rice. Yeah. Top rice is beef fried rice from Nine Dragons, and there's no
Absolutely.
Question. There's no question that that's.
Well,
correct.
I mean, it's not a Snapdragon.
By the way, the rice-a-roni though in the chicken container, top notch. Not a big fan of the four cheese.
Okay.
That's horrible. Okay. But the chicken rice-a-roni right. in the little bag or the right. little container thing.
But Marshall.
Oops. Go ahead.
But Marshall had lost. Rice, they got shot out.
And they got fried by Rice?
Right. Okay. And then they got beat by UAB. So
yeah, but UAB won. Didn't they win a bowl? Or they're in a bowl? They're in a bowl. Alabama Birmingham? The Blazers?
Yeah. That's why I'm taking Buffalo, because I don't trust Marshall. We are Marshall.
I'm totally on Buffalo minus the 4.5 here.
I'm on Buffalo.
You're on that too, Buffalo?
Not the Bills, but just Buffalo.
Okay, so you're taking the MAC over Conference USA here? That's that's where I'm going.
Buffalo's the what?
The Bulls.
Okay, good. You said it was the Buffaloes last week.
By the way, did you know that the camellia is the Alabama state flower?
Didn't care.
Did you know that Appalachian State has won this bowl twice already?
Didn't care.
And it used to be the Raycom Media Bowl.
Yes.
But now
Raycom
it doesn't.
Raycom Media Camellia Bowl?
Yes, but now Gray Television acquired Raycom.
Gray Television.
Which I believe owns KVLY and Valley News Live.
Gray Television,
are
they all black and white?
By the way, your boy Taylor Zarzer has called this game a couple of times too. With
He made my least favorite announcer.
Your other boy, Rene Ingoglia, is that his name? From
Rene
Ingoglia? From isn't he on like the FCS BS show every year?
He played for UMass. Wait, Jay Walker played for who again?
Seriously.
Howard.
He played for Howard.
Can we get like guys from at least Power 5 FCS schools,
no.
not those
They're
teams?
Not wasting their time watching the FCS.
Howard's at HBCU school. I mean, they don't play for a national champion. Oh, sorry, they play for the black national championship. My fault.
It's all about how you perceive it, I guess. And moving on then to the Surf Pro First Responder Bowl. $824,000 to the teams here. We've got Louisiana, who I'm very upset with because they did not get a chance to revenge their loss against the fraudulent Roosters. And playing UTSA, that's Texas. I believe that's Texas San Antonio.
Texas San Antonio.
Is it really? Okay. Yes. Because I just think of that USAA commercial and I always laugh because I always want to say, you know, UTSA.
That's sick, Louisiana. UTSA is terrible.
Well, no, because I might have to take, you know, just a consideration of UTSA because it does give me an excuse. San Antonio, baby. If we have a San Antonio reference, that's what we have to do on the show. This was originally the Dallas Football Classic. Used to be the Ticket City Bowl, then the Heart of Dallas Bowl.
Remember when Ticket City and Ticketmaster was still a thing?
I do remember that, sadly.
Not Seeky.
Zaxby's used to have it. Now it's Surf Pro, which cleans up after like floods and stuff.
Okay, why do you sponsor a bowl game? I have no idea. Okay.
Clean up the lousy bowl games? I don't know. It's at Gerald Ford Stadium.
Are you doing the best Gerald Ford?
It's not a very good Gerald Ford. It's more Gerald Ford. More Chevy Chase doing.
I play offensive line, offensive
Michigan
center, and defensive linebacker.
As opposed to defensive center? Anyway.
That's what he said.
No, I know what you meant. But
I play offensive center, and I play defensive linebacker.
By the way, fun fact in this game, 2012 MVP of the First Responder Bowl, when it wasn't called the First Responder Bowl. Case Keenum, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, great.
Was the MVP playing for...
Houston.
That's right. Houston. Another guy you may not recognize here, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yes,
remember Ahmad Bradshaw?
Yes, yeah, Army? Giants bowling ball.
Well, no, that same name, but this is the Army quarterback instead. So, oh, and by the way, last year, Lucky Jackson from Western Kentucky was the MVP.
That's a great
which is
name.
A phenomenal name, by the way.
I'm lucky.
Listen to the MVPs of this game. Taylor Potts from Texas Tech, Keenum, Clint Chelf, which is just, I don't know, Derek Thompson, Houston Bates.
Oh, that's a great name.
Miles Gaskin, who is still playing in the NFL.
For Miami.
And then we had Bradshaw. Julian Blackman, who sounds like some sort of black operative who you'd have in, like, Call of Duty game or something. It's Lieutenant Julian Blackman, and he's out to get you, you know, kind of thing. And then Lucky Jackson. I mean...
That's a winner right there.
I mean, that's just phenomenal when you have Lucky Jackson. Hopefully, I don't know if they were unlucky or not, but anyway... So that's our matchup here. Louisiana is a 14-point favorite over UTSA. Despite the fact that they let me down against Coastal, I'm still going to take Louisiana.
Wasn't that Coastal's fault?
More or less. But I blame the fraudulent Roosters for everything. Right. So, but I'll take Louisiana to win here minus the 14.
Can we sponsor Morgan instead of that?
Could we have the Legend in the Loudmouth Bowl? We wouldn't. Honestly, between the two of us, we'd have $20 to put into that, wouldn't we?
Right.
We could get it aired on, like, you know, we could stream it on
Pluto
on shit you don't watch. The Pluto TV Legend in the Loudmouth Bowl featuring the 11th place team from the Big Ten and then the D3 champion, Mount Union. You know what we'll do? We'll put the D2 champ in.
Let's do Kansas and UTSA. Let's do it.
Okay. I think what we do is we do like...
Kansas and Maryland. Let's do it.
Kansas and Maryland?
Kansas and Maryland.
Well, no, Maryland will win that game easy.
I don't think so, sure. I mean, they just suck in the Big Ten.
But they got Tua's little brother. That's no more talent than Kansas has.
Okay, Rutgers then.
Okay. Well, the number 20...
Or 11 sports.
Here you go. The Lewis on shit you don't watch. The lowest ranked team in the Sagarin ratings in Division I is our old friends from Mississippi Valley State, who are 257th. I say we put them up against the D2 champion. I don't know who that is.
Madawaska State? I don't know. What, West Florida?
West Florida, correct. West Florida, who defeated Minnesota. I was going to say
Minnesota State.
I was going to say Adam Thielen University, but I knew that wasn't right.
You know you're right.
So we have West Florida, Mississippi Valley State. Winner, it's like the English Premier Soccer relegation promotion rule.
No one gives in love
Actually,
soccer.
I just wanted to bring that up so you'd get fired up. But if Mississippi Valley State wins, they have to go down to D2 and West Georgia moves up. Or West Florida, West Florida moves up to D1. Takes Mississippi Valley State's spot in the SWAC or whatever it is. I like these ideas. See, they got to have stakes in these games and not those kind of stakes, but...
And we'll play at the park near our house here.
Right. No, I think that'd be pretty sweet myself.
Come to Fargo and play -4°.
I don't see why that's a big problem.
Well, when they're from Mississippi and Florida.
Well, that's a minor detail. But let's go to the Lending Tree Bowl, Grant. The Western Kentucky with one of the best names in the league, and the Hilltoppers. The Hilltoppers, who are 5-6 coming in this game against the Georgia State Panthers. Another former FCS whipping boy coming in at 5-4. Georgia State, a 3-point favorite in the Sagarin and a 3.5-point in the Vegas line going into that game. $1.5 million in this little payout for this one. Another Sun Belt Mid-American special here. Originally the Mobile Alabama Bowl. This one, you better buckle up for this one. It was the GMAC Bowl and the GoDaddy Bowl and the Dollar General Bowl. Now it's the Lending Tree Bowl. Whew. So anyway, that's where we're going there. This one's been won a few times by the way, some MVP names in this one. LaDainian Tomlinson, you may have heard of him. Yeah. He was pretty good.
He's same birthday as me.
Actually, look at the MVPs in this game in the 2000 to 2003. It was LaDainian Tomlinson, Byron Leftwich twice, and some guy named Roethlisberger, who I heard turned out okay.
Yeah, a guy named Ben.
A guy named Dan LaFever, who the Bison beat the crap out of one year.
Ooh.
Dan LaFever from Central Michigan.
Oh, yes.
And then another guy you may have heard of, a former Chief and now a Brown, Kareem Hunt, was the MVP in this game also. So
if I'm going to the NFL, be the MVP of this
be
game.
Be the MVP of this game, and you might have a chance to play in the Super Bowl or two.
Or just make it to the NFL.
Or just be one of the greatest running backs of all time, and an out-of-position player in Madden if you're LaDainian Tomlinson. But anyway.
Right.
So last year we had Miami of Ohio and Louisiana in this one. No, I didn't remember either.
No.
And so Georgia State, Western Kentucky, Grant. I guess for lack of any better concept of this one, I'm going to take the team with the winning record and the higher rating. Give me Georgia State minus the 3.5.
Yeah, same as well, because I'm not guessing anymore. I'm just going to go with what I think is right, and then we're going
to
go with Georgia State.
Okay, all right. So we're both on Georgia State.
I took an L for an unnecessary L. So
an unnecessary L. Well, I wouldn't be so harsh
about
that.
Yeah, I would. I should not pick Louisiana Tech.
It's okay. Don't kick yourself. It's all right. Mistakes happen. And now, the Cure Bowl. I'm sorry, the FBC Mortgage Cure Bowl.
Does it consist of Coastal Carolina?
It might.
Then pick the other way.
So, let's recap again. By the way, this is also another one of these hideous games between the ACC and the Sun Belt.
For the third time in the last month, Coastal Carolina on this show.
Seriously. I hate Coastal Carolina. The Fraudulent Roosters... infested by COVID, couldn't play a conference championship game in which they would have lost. So, I am again imploring all college football fans, even though I know it is tough to root for Liberty. I must stop Andy Williams for a moment, because we need to sing one more time. We need to fan the flames of Liberty. Fan the flames, fan the flames. Fan the flames of victory. Fight, fight, fight. For the love of God, for the red, white, and the navy blue of Liberty, let the fire in your name set the spirit aflame and win a victory for ole LU. That's what I ask for. Please, God, make this happen. I know Jerry Falwell's talking to you. Please tell the man upstairs that we need a win from Liberty. Liberty's getting 7.5 against the fraudulent Roosters of Coastal Carolina. I'm absolutely betting 7.5 for Liberty. They are 7-point underdogs, according to Sagarin. It's going to be a slobber knocker for $573,000. Grant, are you with me?
Yes.
Attaboy. Attaboy. So, no standings will change in the Legend and the Loudmouth Sour Patch Kids Pick'em Challenge.
Liberty, Liberty.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Is that we're going to need Limu, Emu, and Doug in this one, I think, too.
Limu, Emu.
And Doug. To win this one. So there we go. Bowl picks for...
No, but
through
I can't pick Monday. Against any of those. Just can't.
Next Monday we'll have a few better games to pick from.
Yeah, these are not one of them.
These are not exactly epic battles here that we're talking about coming up. But at least, you know what, it's TV filler and that's really what they need. We get to the bigger games coming up next time. We've got the Cheez-It Alamo, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which used to be the Belk Bowl.
Alamo Bowl?
Alamo Bowl is coming, which will be your commander again.
Come on, play it again.
No, I don't have. I already closed it out.
Okay. You don't have to play it again.
Well, no, I mean I could. I mean you're going to hear it next time anyway. But I'm always happy. You know, there's always a good reason to play this song. I just have to get to the. You know, it's bad that I already know exactly where in the video to pick it up. Anyway. There we go. So that'll be next week. We'll get to pick that game. So I guess that just leaves us, and unfortunately, you know what game we're going to have to start with as we break down week 16 of the National Football League. Went a little low on the volume. Sorry. Do the Vikes have a chance to win?
Nope.
Tomorrow, do they
nope.
really? No, not at all?
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
Honestly.
Nope. Vikes, no.
Vikes might just like to tell you, Vikes are 7-point underdogs
yep,
and over
Saints,
under a 51.
Saints, Saints of the points, give it to me.
Wow, that quickly.
No shot in hell winning this game, zero. I might not even turn the game off.
Jeez, not even turn the
can
game.
We just
on.
Go 6-10 and draft trading. Like, can we just get to that point? The season is over.
Drew Brees will be playing quarterback though.
Losing to the Bears already screwed this up. So.
Let me.
Point loss is the team you should beat doesn't help you.
Now let me just for those of us that still have belief in the purple.
You do not.
What? You don't think I
you're
have?
You're less old than I do.
I told you the season was over when they were 1-whatever. But there's one way the Vikings can make the playoffs, and only one. This is like drawing to the inside straight in poker. The Vikes beat New Orleans.
No way.
They beat Detroit.
Yes.
Who has their, like, third-string head coach now because they fired Patricia, and Bevel has COVID. So, the like, the wide receiver coach or something is going to get... I think Dan San and I are going to get phone calls to be the co-offensive coordinators again. Jeff McKinnon will be the defensive coordinator. Okay, so Vikes win there, too. Cardinals lose to San Francisco and lose to the Rams.
That's possible.
And Chicago loses to either Jacksonville or Green Bay. Probably going to lose to Green Bay, so yes, that part of the equation might work. And I wouldn't rule out the Cardinals losing both of those games.
Oh, they will.
So, there you go. I'm just saying. You're saying there's a chance? That's the only way they get in.
They have to win out. Cardinals have to lose out.
And the Bears have to split their last two. Because apparently we beat the Bears on... I'm assuming it's the divisional tiebreaker at that point. Like, it's going to matter.
No.
So, anyway. Not happening?
No.
Okay. All right. So, we're both on the Saints minus seven here. Don't think that's too big of a surprise. By the way, the Saints, number one in the league in rushing touchdowns this year. The Vikings, number one in the league in two-point conversions made this year.
Woo! That's because we're desperate by that time.
Just because, you know, that's when you know it's bad, when you are going for two more than anybody else in the
because
NFL.
Because you can't trust your damn kicker.
Seriously. Saturday slate, a three-way game, games.
Remember, people, Cardinals 49ers, not on TV. It's on Prime Video. Why?
Well, we'll start with that one then since you went there. Why? 49ers at 5-9 at the 8-6 Cardinals. The Cardinals minus 5 over the 49ers. This is the one game a year that Yahoo and Amazon or whatever get just because they...
Again, why?
Money. Drive eyeballs.
Towards
honestly, who's going to watch this game otherwise?
Towards a streaming service? I mean, seriously?
It's like, Amazon. They're only like the biggest company in the world.
They put on like CBS. They don't have any games out there.
On Kibbis?
Yeah.
Don't they have some bowl game to broadcast or something? No, none of the ones I just read, apparently. Who cares?
Yeah.
Niners, you can't rule them out on this one. Although Raheem Mostert has been ruled out. Yeah, and that, to me, I was thinking about leaning 49ers, but with no Mostert, man, it just gets worse.
And CJ Beathard, you got beat by the Vikes.
Is he starting?
Yes.
Instead of
Nick Mullins.
What happened to Mullins?
Got hurt.
Seriously. So CJ Beathard is going to get beat hard again?
Yeah.
All right. Cardinals. I'm on the Cardinals minus 5 then. I was thinking about it, but I got to make my move on the game, and that ain't it if that's going to be the case. Let's go to earlier in the day. Bucks are 10-point favorites over the Lions, who I mentioned are on their 19th-string head coach.
You can stop there, Buccaneers.
Lions have the 30th-ranked defense in the league. And I know the Bucks have not played exactly, you know, world-class football, but I don't think
they're better than Detroit. So
they are better than Detroit. We're both on the Bucks here.
Yep.
Minus the 10, 54 over-under in that one.
Yep.
Closing out Saturday night, Dolphins a 3-point favorite at the Raiders. Interesting. Interesting game here because the Raiders, for all practical purposes, may be dead. But the Dolphins are not exactly world beaters here.
No.
The thing the Dolphins don't do is they don't beat themselves. They're near the bottom of the league in committing penalties. Their offense isn't very good, and their defense is kind of meh. The Raiders, on the other hand, have a horrible defense, as we've seen. But yet they can pound the rock with Josh Jacobs and maybe make this an ugly game. What do you think here, John?
Well, the Dolphins' defense is kind of lately.
Yeah,
it was top five, and now it's like a top...
It's 18th in the league.
Top 10, top 20 defense. My problem with the Dolphins will make the Raiders defense look worse than it is because the Raiders can't stop anybody. And there's Jonathan Abram, who I hate to begin with, he's hurt all the time. He's probably the best defensive player outside of Max Crosby, and he's hurt still. I don't trust the Raiders. After I picked them to beat the Browns when I was right, I can't pick them to beat the Dolphins. I'm picking the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a disciplined football team. That's the complete opposite of what the Raiders are. When John Gruden forgot, he picked the wrong hat to begin the game last week. So
that's factoring in your decision? I don't think this line's big enough to make a difference. I think the Dolphins probably can win this game by a field goal, but it's going to be ugly. I don't trust the Raiders. They really, honestly, they should have been beaten by the Jets, and then they went out and got worked.
Right.
Not a positive development here. I think Brian Flores has brought something to this team that, despite the fact that they're statistically maybe not very good, they're just tough, and that kind of reflects the personality of their head coach. So I kind of like that. Give me the Dolphins minus the 3. I can't take my shot here either. Sunday slate, Falcons at 4-10 travel to the 13-1 Chiefs. The Chiefs, number one offense, number one in first downs, number one in points, number one in your heart. I don't think they're number one in points. I'm sorry.
Are the Chiefs in the game?
The Chiefs are in the game.
Chiefs.
10.5 point Chiefs. Favorite with a 54. Chiefs. This is going to be a shootout, though.
Chiefs. Who are they playing?
Falcons.
Chiefs.
Falcons have the 28th ranked defense in the league and one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Want to go Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Okay. Chiefs minus 10.5.
Yeah, done.
Browns 10-4 at the 1-13 Jets, who are on a one-game winning streak.
Woo!
The Browns are 9.5 on the road. Looking to lock up their first playoff appearance in, I don't know, since the Nixon administration. I don't know. No, it's not that long. I think that was the first. Has it really been that long? I thought they went in
2003.
Isn't this like, so this would be like a George W. Bush era?
Yeah, okay. The Bush administration.
First Bush.
Second Bush.
That's my, by the point, if you're going to 94, where they were Clinton.
Can you name the quarterback once for that game?
No, I can't.
Kelly Holcomb.
Kelly Holcomb.
Against Tommy Maddox.
Oh, my God. Oh, the Steelers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tommy Maddox, the XFL's only MVP? What team did Tommy Maddox play for in the XFL, by the way?
Los Angeles Extreme.
Very nice. But who was the MVP of the XFL championship game that year?
Tommy Maddox.
Incorrect. It was Jose Cortez.
Oh, the kicker, right.
In the $1 million game. Because I think he scored all the points. Yeah, it was
you know
that
what,
bad.
You know what it was supposed to be called? The big game at the end before they had to change it.
Yes. I believe Jose Cortez did brief stint with the Vikings at some point. Maybe, didn't he?
Who the MVP in the league was that year?
Tommy Maddox. Well, that was the entire question I asked to start this whole segment. Yeah, he played for the Vikings. I was right.
And who was the extreme coach?
That I don't know.
Hal Luganville.
Okay.
The guy who never coached an NFL team, but was a really good coach in all other places. Mm.
Jose Cortez, by the way, did kick for the Vikings in 2003. No, really, it's right here.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not saying I don't believe
Jose him. Had a run, man. He had Cleveland, San Diego, New York, San Diego again, a stint with the Amsterdam Admirals.
There you go.
The LA Extreme, as mentioned. Niners.
Amsterdam Admirals?
Yes.
Then a third kicked it on.
Niners, Washington, when it was called something else. Chiefs, Vikings. Are the Detroit Fury? What is that?
I think it's a UFL team.
They're an arena football team.
Arena
all right.
Football league teams are.
Dallas, Philly, Niners again, and Colts. So that's 10.
So he played for
10 NFL teams.
But 12 overall spots.
Right.
He played for, seriously, dude.
I mean, that's pretty unbelievable.
So he was good enough to stay in the league, but he wasn't good enough to consistently play for a team.
Jose was one of two players to have played in the NFL, Arena, NFL Europe, and XFL.
One of two?
One of two. And then he became a state trooper. Oh. And then he was caught groping a woman during a DUI stop. Okay, well, that's not a good way for Jose's name to be remembered. Let's move on. Jose apparently didn't. Apparently, Jose learned to do things other than with his feet. So,
okay.
We'll just move on from that one. Where was I? How do I recover from that? We're both taking the Browns, I assume?
Yes.
Is that where we are?
Yes.
That's complete control
of
the show. Okay. So we both picked the Chiefs. We both picked the Browns. Interesting game in Pittsburgh. What has happened to the Steelers? They are a 1.5 underdog to the Colts.
Colts.
With the over-under at 44.5.
I don't think the Steelers can recover from these losses.
The Steelers' offense is 25th in the league, and they are next to last.
Can't run football.
Running. They have the second-ranked defense in the league. I don't think they could score enough in this one to hang with the Colts. I'm going to take the Colts minus the 1.5.
I'm taking the Colts. Do it.
And the under.
The Colts, at least they have a defense consistently, and Duck Hunter Rivers can still put some points on the board.
I should have the whack-whack sound effect there.
But he has a good running game behind him, too.
True.
The Steelers, they used to be this team that you could run the ball with Franco Harris. You could run the ball with Jerome Bettis. You could run the ball with Willie Parker. What? Franco Harris?
Are we going to... is Rocky Blyer coming in here, too? Or?
I think so.
Holy cow.
Frenchie Fuqua?
Frenchie's lucky that ball ricocheted off of him.
He still wasn't telling about what happened, so...
We all know what happened.
But, like, they just don't say to me... We can be a dominant football team. I mean, Juju's not gonna dance on logos anymore, which is a good thing. So
well, yay for him.
Remember, they can still lose this division.
By the way, as long as we're talking about running backs here, you mentioned Willie Parker. Let's not forget Le'Veon Bell. John Henry Johnson.
Deuce Daly.
Frank Pollard.
Deuce Daly.
Deuce Daly played for the Steelers?
Yep.
When?
I think he's a backup.
He's not even in the top 30 rushing list.
He's in the back there. He did
play. He was 38. All right.
He played for Venice.
Dick Hoke. Dick Hoke. A very, I don't know if I'm recovering from Dick Hoke, but they called him Richard. Barry Foster.
Oh, yes.
A fine running
Barry
back.
Barry Foster. No,
do you remember Rishard Mendenhall?
I do. Merrill Hodge?
Yes. Walter Abercrombie.
I remember Barry Foster. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was good. Preston Pearson, a perpetual backup in that backfield.
Does Slash Stewart count?
Yes, he does. He's on the list.
He's kind of running back.
Amos Zeroway. Remember Amos?
Amos Zeroway.
Oh, that's very nice right there. Bam Morris with one of the best names.
That's a great name.
Tim Worley and Eric Pegram. Or Eric Pegram 7, as Berman used to say. D'Angelo Williams had a cup of coffee in the backfield there.
Uh-huh.
Some other guys you might remember from the modern era. Remember Moeldy Moore? He used to play for the Vikings.
No.
He had a stint there.
Benny Snell.
And then, of course, how could we forget the immortal Chris Fuamatu Maafala? Great name.
His friends call him Chris.
And the only member of the Supreme Court in the backfield, Byron Whizzer White from 1938.
Yes.
Who also played there as well. So, gotta love.
This is about the point of the show where we just nerd out on things, and this is one of them.
Well, this is one of them. But also, we have to also look. You know, we haven't done Steeler quarterbacks in a while. So, why don't we do some Steeler quarterbacks here?
All right.
Stewart, of course.
Okay. You name one. Neil O'Donnell.
I think we've done these before because these names look familiar. Cliff Stout.
Bradshaw.
Mark Malone.
Bradshaw.
Bobby Lane.
Johnny Unitas for Deck.
Bubby Brister.
Roethlisberger.
Neil O'Donnell.
Duck Hodges.
Jim Finks.
Mason Rudolph.
Ted Marchibroda.
God, you have the list in front of
me. I do. I'm kind of cheating here. Michael Vick qualifies.
Right.
Terry Hanratty, who was like the backup for forever.
Right.
David Woodley.
Joe Gillum.
Charlie Batch,
there you go.
Mike Tomczak.
Yeah.
Todd Blackledge, ABC Sports.
Right. Yeah.
Len Dawson played for the Steelers in the late 50s.
Oh, I don't know when this was.
So, Steve Bono, I got you, babe. Anyway, you don't know the joke there.
No, he's only known for a 76-yard touchdown.
T. Martin.
Yeah.
Remember Kent Graham?
I do.
And then Tecmo Bowl players will remember Rick Strom, 1989. Jack Kemp played for them for a brief time period. Jim Miller, who torched the Vikings in many different uniforms.
No, just in 2000.
So, Landry Jones?
Yes.
Anyway, this could go on for way too long.
Okay, yeah, back to the Colts.
We've got stuff to do. We're on the Colts at the -1.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Colts -1.5 it is. Bears -7.5 at the now number one draft pick owning Jaguars.
If the Jags don't show up, I'm not surprised. Taking Bears.
Jags are 32nd ranked in the league in defense.
Yikes.
And they commit the fourth most penalties in the league. Gee, I can't imagine why they're 1-13. Let's go the Bears -7.5. Giants Ravens. You know, if the Giants, God, they look terrible on Sunday night. Playing the Browns?
But they beat Seattle. So the NFC is such a mess. And regardless of who's leading, even though the NFC has picked itself up a little bit.
Ten and a half's a big number.
I'm taking the Ravens.
And even though 10.5's a big number, I can't bring myself to, again, risk a game here. I just don't think they have the offensive firepower.
I think the Ravens are better football
team. Give me the Giants. No, I can't do it. I can't.
You can't take the Giants.
I can't take the Giants. Nope. Ravens -10.5. We'll go with that. 44 over under. I'll take the under. I don't think the Giants are going to hardly score. These games we are contractually obligated to talk about because they're on the schedule. We will not waste much time on them. Bengals 3-10-1 at the 4-10 Texans. Texans are 7.5-point favorites.
Watson wants to win a game, Texans.
In this game, we've got the 30th-ranked offense, the Bengals, against the 31st-ranked defense. The Texans, oh, God, it's horrible. Advantage Texans here, they have the number 3 passing offense in the league.
Because they have a quarterback.
Which is pretty impressive considering how their wide receiving corps sucks. But again, this is also a team the Vikings are able to beat. So it's all relative. We're on the Texans.
Yes.
-7.5. Chargers and Broncos hook up again. Chargers at home this time. 5-9, both teams. Chargers are -3 with a 49 over-under. It strikes me as odd that these teams have the same record. Yeah. I'm going to take the Chargers -3 because of Herbert and the gang there. Again, you know I love teams that have offensive and defensive rankings both in the top 10. Chargers do. They're seventh on. Well, that just tells you how shitty the coaching is. They're seventh on offense and tenth in defense. They don't commit a lot of penalties. They're just poorly. They just can't execute in big game scenarios.
Yeah, Chargers.
Fortunately, they're not in a game here where it's going to be much.
Like Anthony, your pink slip is on your desk.
Mm-hmm. Chargers minus a 3 and the under in this one for us. Panthers at 4-10 travel to face the Wifties, the Washington football team. Panthers were on the right side of the line here earlier, but now it's come down. Washington is a 1-point favorite with a 42.5 over under.
Washington wants to win this division.
Washington's defense is still really good. And because I don't think the Panthers can move the ball effectively, I'm going to take the almost did it. Washington minus the 1.
If you say red tails.
I know you like me to say red tails.
Say red tails. How do you call that anyway?
Eagles at 4-9-1 travel to the 5-9 Cowboys. Jalen Hurts presumably will be starting again. The Cowboys just can't hang on to football. They're number one in the NFL in turnovers via fumble, but they're only a 2.5-point underdog and they're at home, Grant. I can't in good conscience look at the Eagles and say that I'm really comfortable picking them minus 2.5.
I'm not
going to
pick Dallas either. So
no, I'm not either.
Dallas can't hold on to the ball. They can't stop anybody. And Jalen Hurts adds a dimension to their offense we haven't seen all year. Sorry, Carson, but
yep.
It's the Cowboys and they're at home.
You're thinking the same thing I am.
Taking Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas plus the 2.5. I think is too much of a pick here. I
really want to take Philly, but I just can't trust Jalen Hurts. He hasn't won a game yet.
Speaking of teams you can't trust, the Rams.
Oh boy.
Are 1-point underdogs to the Seahawks. I can't take the Rams.
No.
After what I saw last week and laying an absolute egg again
against the Jets.
The loudmouth theory of top 10 offense. Indeed, they are. Just listen to this for a second. They are number one in the league in defense. They are number one against the pass and number two against the run.
So how'd you lose?
And they lost to the New York friggin' Jets by a field goal. Who took a knee at the end of the game.
They're trying to lose, and you let them win.
As much as I hate Seattle, I'm going to take them minus the 1.
Right.
I'm going to take the under. I just don't think I can't trust the Rams.
No.
And
I really like the Rams, but you can't lose to the Jets.
No, you can't do that.
It's the Jets.
Hit that horn. Hit that horn. Got to get a new horn.
They better get a new horn.
The Rams lost to the paper airplanes.
That's
the
horrible.
Jets.
What a horrible.
They lost to a bunch of paper airplanes.
They're a horrible football team right now. I can't trust them. We're taking the Seahawks minus the 1.
Yep.
Sunday Night Football. The Titans. The mighty, mighty Titans, 10-4.
We are the Titans, we are the Titans, mighty, mighty Titans.
Travel to Green Bay at 11-3.
God, I want Tennessee to win this
The game. Only way the Titans are going to have to play a very Viking-like game where they just pound the football at Green Bay.
They will.
But the Packer defense has rebounded since that game. They are, again, 4th-ranked offense, 8th-ranked defense. They're 11 against the rush, not special. The problem here is the Titans' defense is so bad. They're 27th in the league.
I'm taking Green Bay, but I really want the Titans to win this game.
And I can't stake.
Right, exactly.
I can't stake a pick on losing to the Titans here. I think if the line was a little higher, I might consider it. But
right.
I just don't think the Titans can stop them. And all it's going to take.
I think they can score.
The Titans, to me, are in the same position that the Chiefs. That when they played the Chiefs, they've got offensive firepower. But if they even remotely get behind, it all falls apart.
Right. Tannehill's a game manager.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's not a game manager. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Right, because he has a mammoth to hand the ball off to when he needs to.
Right. Both teams average about 31 a game. This is definitely going to hit the over at 55.5, but I have to take the Packers here.
Packers.
I can't do it.
Right.
Monday night, Bills are -7 against the Patriots with an over-under 46. I'm definitely taking the under here, Grant.
Under in the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills aren't anything special. They are the best team in the league on third down. They are outstanding in terms of that statistic, and I think that's a big reason why they are able to play as well as they are is because no other team in the league has converted over 50% on third down. That's a heck of a stat, and that's a huge stat, especially in this kind of game where the Patriots, they have a decent defense, but I just think Buffalo is going to score enough. I'm not saying they're going to win by 20 points.
Well,
minus 7 is about. This is probably one of those like 21-10 type games.
Well, it was 24-21 last time they played. So.
Right. And so.
I'll take the Bills and the 7, but I just like. This is going to be a closer game.
Yeah, most people think.
Bills.
So. So that takes us to the end of the NFL slate for the week. It should be interesting. Again, we got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday coming up here for all of us on the National Football League slate. The last thing we're going to do on the show tonight, I did not tell the loudmouth about this ahead of time.
You're the loudmouth.
Oh, I did not tell the legend about this ahead of time. Well, I'll get that right when I do this. I did not tell the legend I was going to do this. And so I am going to deviate from our script.
Are you quizzing me?
No, I am not going to quiz you. In fact, I'm here to, at this point in the show, what I'm here to do is to tell you a little Christmas story. With some uplifting music behind it, of course. I'm going to tell you a little story about Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and the loudmouth was trying not to think about the Vikings, but no tears he was crying. Oh, sure, he'd been caught going a little bit postal with rants about roosters, the Chanticleers from Coastal. He thought about his show, a father and a son, who just talk about sports and try to have fun. Despite the mess of 2020, your favorite podcast pair had a great time putting all of these shows on the air. Now, despite COVID-19, we made it all the way through of a year without guidance on what we should do. You know, as you look back, it really was quite a year. The sports world of 2020. It's a memory, quite clear. We started it all in our most happy place, called Frisco. You've heard of it. It's NDSU's southern home base. It's there we saw the championship magic of Trey, and James Hendricks sealed it for Coach Entz and AJ. We lost the Black Mamba too soon, who were 24-8, but even that couldn't stop the Lakers from being great. The Chiefs won the bowl. They were super indeed, and Mahomes and Tyreek came big time for Coach Reed. Bison Hoops beat the Hawks to go to the dance, but lo and behold, they never got the chance. The games had to stop as winter moved on, and with that came the time when the sports were all gone. We had Tiger King Zoom meetings in the NFL draft, all done in new ways that we had to craft, and we took a hiatus in the middle of the summer while everyone said, man, this is really a bummer. But the best part of summer was a championship thirst, and the loudmouth was coaching with the legend at first. The power connection, to be quite specific, won the league title, and that was terrific. But finally, as the calendar turned past July, the sports world came back with games in ample supply. The Twins captured the Central and made the playoff bracket, but sadly enough, their hitters just couldn't hack it. The Baseball World Series moved to Texas for the year, and the Dodgers wound up wearing the championship gear. And in the NHL bubble, that's Canadian style, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning who fit the profile. High school sports started this fall, and the legend played his first games of varsity ball. Congrats to the kid Loudmouth, so proud of you, and I know that Mama Legend, Mrs. Loudmouth, is too. We got back on the golf course, no handshakes, no danger, and Colin Morikawa won the season's first major. Bryson DeChambeau became a name to remember, and DJ won his first Masters in the middle of November. And the college football season got off to a delayed start, and even the Herd got to play a small part, defeating the Bears in a strange empty dome, but hey, at least we got that one game at home. And the NFL was back, empty stadiums and all, with 32 teams able to answer the call, and it gave us something normal, for the moment at least, as we watched Dalvin Cook run like a beast. But these are the Vikings, and a bad start to the slate means they can finish no better than 8-8. Will the offense or the offseason give us a hope and a glimmer to see what miracles can be pulled off by Coach Zimmer? And then there are memories of whom we lost anew, Tom Hanneman and Sid Hartman, just to name a few, Stern, Sayers and Seaver, Gibson and Whitey Ford, all sports figures greatly respected and adored. It's been quite a year, the loudmouth thought, and then came a sound that caused him to turn most quickly around. It was Santa himself, a presence truly sublime, and his presence caused the loudmouth to blurt out, "It's time!" Santa handed him presents, all wrapped with a bow, and exclaimed, "Where's the legend? He's why I listened to the show." The loudmouth just chuckled and nodded his head, and I told him, I mean, to be honest, he just went to bed. But the man in the red suit had a gleam in his eye, and he said, tell sound engineer Ben, he's a pretty great guy. Loudmouth responded, "I sure will, Mr. Claus," and Santa smiled after his words and paused. The fat jolly man gave a nod and laid finger to nose and said, "Tell legend hello," and up the chimney he rose. The loudmouth then heard a clatter on the snow-covered roof, and he swore that he heard the sound of a hoof. And then came a noise like a referee's whistle. Off went the reindeer like the down of a thistle. The loudmouth went to the window and watched the sleigh fly deep into the 5-8-104's black night sky. hey, this year hasn't been easy, it's been a real grind. But one thing we hope all of you keep in mind is that whenever you need a break or a smile, you can tune in the Legend in Loudmouth for a while. And now, as we close out our holiday show, and we enjoy Christmas weather and some fresh night snow. From Legend in the Loudmouth, the final words that seem right are Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Thank you.
That was phenomenal what you just did right there.
Thank you. Thank you. Kind of lost it at the end there.
That was phenomenal. Did you write that yourself?
I did.
That was phenomenal.
I did. I've been composing it for better part of a week, trying to put that together, and I wanted to make sure I could pull it off. I almost got all the way to the end. But as I think about this whole year and everything we've gone through and all the challenges.
I knew you were an editor. Why did you think you'd be a poet like that? That was great.
Well, you know, it's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, obviously,
right,
the classic.
But that was great.
Fitting it all together takes some doing, and it's something that on our show that this has given me an opportunity to kind of let this part of myself out and do that with you, which is the best Christmas present of all of this,
right.
Is being able to do this and have some fun with it and kind of be... at least pretend we know what we're doing in here. And as you can tell by the production quality of the show, it's pretty difficult sometimes to put it all together. But it's a blast, and I want for all of you out there to have a safe and wonderful and happy holiday season and enjoying your Christmas. And I really hope that you'll continue to listen to us. We've got two more shows yet to do. Looks like by the calendar we'll have a New Year's Eve show. So I have no more rhymes for New Year's, but I think that will kind of cover what we've done this year. It's been a crazy year. It's just been a lot of fun to go through it with you. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you understand why I didn't share it with you ahead of time.
I'm happy you didn't. That was good.
So all right, enough of the. By the way, do you like the this is uplifting Happy Christmas songs? Is the background
that song? And you like there was low points in the song, and you went right back into it. Like you timed the poet, they timed the song and your writing like perfect.
I wasn't sure I was gonna be able to keep the pace up as long as
that
was
good though.
But
you made that go perfect.
Well, I try. If I get. We'll send this one in for the Emmy Awards or whatever, right? This will be the Emmy show. They always say they're going to turn that one in for the Emmy show. That'll be my Emmy show clip. But we still got to end the show the same way. I mean, it wouldn't be true to the format if we didn't do it that way anyway. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendinloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendinloudmouth@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. Check out our website, legendinloudmouth.com. That's legendinloudmouth.com. For links to our previous shows, I will post 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and still continue to tell you why Coastal Carolina sucks. Grant, where do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram @Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. _Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. Do you want to like, hate the show, we don't care, stream us, please, and subscribe to YouTube channel. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody, indeed. We hope your celebrations are full of family and food and presents and everything that Santa got you. And if you want to return it, hey, at least it's a weekend on Saturday. So I'm sure Santa will understand.
It's a free refund for you. So.
Right, exactly. Or get a gift card. Get your mom a Starbucks. I'm sure she'll love that. Anyway, best of holiday wishes to you. We'll see you back on Monday. Post-holiday edition, we'll break down the NFL weekend and the NCAA. Merry Christmas, everybody, from the Legend and the Loudmouth.